You cannot be serious! That ball was on the line!
And ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has just left the building.
Scores the goal to take England all the way to the World Cup finals.
Well, take him out, son. I mean that. Take him out.
Konnichiwa. This is Liu Vocal.
Howdy. This is Matt Cohen.
Welcome to Big Lens Fast Shutter, where we demystify the world of sports photography. And we go on to... Go, Matt.
News. Here at News, both Ryu and I will tell you our best and worst shoot of the previous month, and we talk about ourselves because we like to.
And since we are both kind of pressed with time for the next couple of days, we're trying to kind of get through everything as quickly but as well as possible. So, because we usually talk about things for an hour before we even get started, and we didn't really have that. So I have no idea what Matt did. I have no idea what Matt's feeling these days, or I have no idea what kind of problems that Matt has at the moment. So tell us your life for the past month.
I shot a couple soccer games. Nothing. That's football for you, Ryu. I don't know if you knew what I was talking
about. For the rest of the world, except for Japan probably as well. They say soccer over there in Japan. Okay.
But nothing spectacular there. I got some pictures that I was happy with, but it was just kind of average games. Last weekend I went down to Southern California and shot a rodeo that I had never shot before. And it was interesting. It was not the best rodeo picture wise. I didn't really have the kind of room to move that I ordinarily do. There were, sponsored tents, and it was like a golf, it was like I was getting ready for a golf match to break out. It was like a country club rodeo, and I don't know, I was kind of restricted to two spots, and I was hustling between the two of them and made some good pictures, but it wasn't normally when I go to rodeo I'm looking to make creative pictures, different pictures, but this was probably 90% action pictures, and I just couldn't really do anything about it. So
wait, can I ask you something? Like, I just recently realized your images that you use a lot of black and white now more than color. What's up with that?
I wouldn't say that at all.
Really? Because usually, all the Facebook stuff I've seen is black and white.
Well, I think you might need to get your vision checked. Do you have color blindness?
What are you talking about? Really?
Generally, I don't usually mess with the action pictures in black and white, but the behind the scenes kind of stuff, I will. The, the drill team or the guys getting their saddles ready or things like that, then I'll put those in black and white. But I don't really put very many action pictures in black and white. It just doesn't generally work.
Okay. I'm just saying, I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, I do enjoy black and white. I started out shooting black and white films, so I think about that a lot, but not for action pictures generally.
Okay.
But anyway, so yeah, that was kind of my best and worst shoot, because I got some good pictures, but I wasn't really able to do the kind of things that I normally do at rodeos. So it was kind of an adapt and overcome situation.
Okay. August, was the start of, my soccer, football season, and it started last weekend, and I think it pretty much started in all over Europe now, and we're in full football season now. We just had the Champions League and Europa League groupings as well, and everything's kind of underway, so that's quite exciting. I kind of wanted to get back to work. I didn't really have a worst shoot per se, but I had to do a lot of portrait shoots for different magazines this month, and that was quite good and bad, because I think it's nice to be able to do other things, break things up, and shoot portraits, but I also realized how much work I need to personally do to get well, to become a better portrait shooter, because I've seen people do really, really great portraits, and I try to emulate that. I try to actually, you know, do the same thing, and it doesn't work because I don't have the knowledge, well, enough of it really, to kind of control the lights that other people do. So I was a bit frustrated with that, and I think there's a lot more that I have to learn in order to become a better all-around sports photographer. That's really it, though. In Masterclass, we pick a topic in sports photography and we discuss it front and back. I don't know why it's front and back, but we are going to discuss it. We have picked a topic, and the topic is our UN theme, which was not in the center. So we were asking people to put their main subject at far right or far left or far north or far south. And Matt has something to say about that.
I have many things to say about that. So I think people get stuck in this rule of thirds photography. And when you're shooting for publication, especially for a newspaper, if it's a non-feature picture for a magazine or something like that, where it's just a regular action picture, the editor is going to crop that down to the action. So you're not going to have, you can shoot it any way you want to, but that picture is going to run straight up. Not rule of thirds, it's going to be centered, it's going to be as small as it can be cropped, you know, to the action. So that doesn't mean that you can't shoot it differently, but there should always be a reason to how you shoot it. And just shooting two players running down a field snapped to the rule of thirds grid, there's no point to it unless there's something going on in the background that you need. So what we're seeing in the UWIN for this month was basically people weren't trying to make a picture that was not in the center. It was just like, oh, well, this is where they happen to be, and there's two-thirds of this picture is grass. Well, that's great if there was some cool lighting or if you had a different perspective on it or something like that, but it's not enough to say I'm being creative because I'm snapping this to the rule of thirds. There should be a reason for it. There should be something cool going on in the background. There should be something balancing the action. There should be an echo of the main subjects. There should be something that makes it a reason that you're not centering it. Otherwise, just center it, because that's how it's going to run anyway. So, or there's going to be text over it, or, you know, another picture inset in it. But it's not creative just to move the subject over to the side. It's creative to move the subject over to the side to get something else important that adds to the picture. And some of these pictures, most of these pictures that we're seeing, there isn't anything important going on. It's just grass, or it's just a court, or, you know, it's just the sky or something like that. And what it says to me, and something that we've been talking about for a while and something that kind of drives me insane, is that there's a lack of thought that's going into these. You can't just go out there and just start pushing the button and think, oh, well, I'm just going to get great pictures. That's not how it works. And we assume that because you're listening to this podcast that you want to get better at photography, and specifically at sports photography, and you're not going to get better at it unless you think about it, and unless you go out there and try things. Well, and
I think it's you have to, I think you kind of have to also realize, you know, Matt Cohen, that most people don't really know anything better, you know, because the things that we usually see on a daily basis, whether it be on the web or on magazines and newspapers, are quite standard photos where they don't really use creative license to do what they want to do. You know what I mean? So I think when you say, like, okay, well, we want you to put the subject in a different place out in the middle, it to them think that because of the fact that, like, you put it somewhere not in the middle, then that's what we were asking you to do. And that's not what we were asking you to do. And like Matt said, that we wanted you to think like making the main subject, putting the main subject somewhere other than the middle, it would kind of enhance the photo, makes it more exciting, you know, makes it just interesting. And it, I think some people have done it very, 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 very well. We'll talk about it and you in anyway after this. But some of you, as Matt said, that they just put it there just for the sake of putting it there. Or you cropped it there or something like that. It just makes no sense that it's there. And I'm, you know, a very big proponent. I don't know, like, people agree with me, but I put a lot of stuff on the left and right and up and down. I don't like to put things in the middle because I find it very boring. But even though, like, I try to think about, like, how the balance of the entire picture looks like when I put something on extreme edges in the, within the frame. So, saying that, I don't know. What is there anything else that, like, we can kind of, like, say to people? Because if we come and do this thing again, I want people to, like you said, think a bit more when you're doing the, well, particular assignment.
You know, well, maybe. I just think that, you know, you're going to have, like, if people are making landscapes or if they're making portraits, like, there are general rules of photography that go beyond the rule of thirds. So you can't go out there and you know, you do a portrait of someone and the middle of, you know, a line running down the face is your Photoshop, you know, grid lines for rule of thirds. That's not going to make it a good picture. That's going to conform to the rule of thirds. But there are times when you break that and when you center it exactly. There are times when the line going down the middle of his face is the edge of the frame and only half of his face is in there. If you're making a landscape, you might not want to put the mountain right in the middle, but just putting it on the rule of thirds doesn't automatically make it a great picture. There are other rules of photography, and, you know, I was running through them very quickly, but some of them are you want to have an echo of the, you know, whatever the main subject is. So if you're shooting a person's head, you want to have something maybe round and a different size in a different part of the frame so that you get some sense of scale of the person's face and there's something to balance it. You know, you want to use color and use the background to accentuate whatever the subject is of the picture or decentuate it. You know, if you want to show that, you know, there are two kids who are playing basketball and, you know, there's nothing anywhere around them, then you're showing how big the space is that they're playing in and how small they are relative to all that. So you can't just say, well, the contest was not in the center, so it's automatically going to be a winning picture if the subject isn't in the center. That's not true. There's still other rules that go along. You know, you're driving down the road and you're following the speed limit, but you have two flat tires or something like that, you're still going to get pulled over for reckless driving. You know, you can't just focus on one thing to the, you know, ignoring all the rest of it. So it's still all of the factors that are in the frame still need to contribute to it being a good picture. And I think that people took this way too literally. And no matter what the contest is for any given month, yes, you have to conform to what that is if you want to enter it in the contest, but there still have to be other things going on if you want it to be a winner, if you want it to be a good picture. You can't just say, oh, well, I've satisfied the requirements. Well, yeah, but it doesn't, you know, what does that get you? You know, it gets you a C. It doesn't get you an A+. So I want more A+ thinking.
And the other thing is that when you are going to be shooting something that is the, you know, the, you're shooting the main subject on the extreme edges of the frame, what you also need to think about is where you're going to put the focus point as well. I think we kind of had this conversation. Someone asked us, or like on the Flickr group page, or it was on the podcast. I don't remember what it was, but it was a question like that. And just what I usually do is that I put it on the left edge or the right edge or the up or the down, and I look at what I have and concentrate on taking that shot. Sports is one of those things that it continuously moves and changes all the time, and you do have to have a bit of a quick thinking head, and as well as a bit of a plan if you are really going for a shot unique as something that is not in the center. The same thing as padding that we discussed about, that you do have to kind of say, okay, you know what, this half I'm just going to pan and hopefully I'll get a shot that looks very, very good, and the rest of like however many shots you've taken is just a throwaway. So same thing for the thing as well. Like, you can move the cursor points all the time, that's what I usually do, but if you are practicing trying to kind of, you know, think outside the box and try to shoot things on the edges of your frame, then leave your focus point there and just kind of create the scene according to what you've got as well. So it probably is one of those things. We probably will come back and do it again.
We'll definitely do this
in the future, but some of them that were submitted into UWin were fantastic. I mean, it's beautiful photos, and some of them beautiful photos, but not really what we were asking for. So probably should have been podium, and or like Matt said, you kind of read it a bit too literally and didn't make any sense of actually having that the main subject on the edges. So, but what are we going to do next month?
Depth. We're going to do you decided? Depth.
So what does that mean? What are we going to do?
Just in the pictures, we want to see that there are things going on either in front of the subject, behind the subject. If you just go to the group pool and look, the most of the pictures that are in there are just flat. And what I want to see is make that picture look 3D. Make it look like it's in an environment where there are other things going on. Use your surroundings. Put it all together to make a picture that's not just two guys who are standing beside each other, whether they're fighting over a ball or, you know, whatever they're doing. Show us the environment. Show us that there are other things going on.
So I hope you understand. If you don't get it, always just, you know, ask us on whatever we can. You can do it on Twitter. You can do it on our website. Whatever. You can just ask us exactly what we mean by that. But I think you've seen a lot of pictures. There's just a lot of things going on in the foreground, things going in the background. And as Matt said, you can combine those two, make things three-dimensional on a two-dimensional, well, medium, which is photography. So, yeah, that's it. And that will be it for Masterclass. And good luck to you on the UWin thing for next month.
Training ground. You asked for it, you get it. Ryu and I will rip your photos into smithereens. Hold on to your headphones.
Here comes the pain. What? Matt's been practicing that all week long. And here we go with a mega really quick, because we have to go, but we'll do it as best as we can. Training ground starting now.
Yeah. So I invited the first one. Yeah, this is one of those things where it's a tiny little detail that doesn't quite make the picture. No. And, you know, the boot, it's great. He lost his boot, but, you know, there's the background's too bright. The rider is, you know, not all the way out of focus, not all the way in focus. And the pickup horse, you know, the part of the hoof is covered by the boot. So everything's working against this picture. Try it again. Moments like this happen after buck offs.
Second one.
You know, second one's great.
Me too.
This is everything we're talking about.
Low.
This doesn't
it's
need
very,
to be in
good.
Training ground.
Fantastic. Do it again.
The soccer header picture, I invited this one also, and the guy was kind of hesitant to put it in. It's not enough to get the header. It's not enough to get the sweat flying off. This is actually the beginnings of a good picture, but the problem is the getting the feet cut off and having the extra space on the top. My advice is crop this. There's no reason that anything below their shorts needs to be in. You'll still get the depth of having the boxes in the background and the crowd in the background. It'll give it a little bit more impact to the header. But you can't just randomly cut people off at the ankles. It's never going
to
be okay.
It doesn't look very, very good. And I think you should try again. And it has to be a better composition for this one too. Mark A.H. with a cycling photo. Compared to other cycling photos I've ever seen in my life, this is really boring. Yes, there's a guy on the right hand throwing hand, but it makes nothing. In the empty space, it doesn't do anything to the picture. Think again, recomposition. You need to actually find out exactly what do you want to do with these type of pictures. I will also go to Isaac Ferreira, which is a coach's picture. So what? He's yelling something. Noisy background. He's on the left edge. Great, but it doesn't really do anything. There's no excitement. There's nothing. I wish you would have come, picked a better moment to shoot. I'm sure he was doing other things that was much more interesting than what he's doing right now over in this picture. Go, Matt.
Yeah, I don't mind this one, but it's not special enough for me to fight about. It's just, the expression on his face is good, but everything else is working against it. So, if you were shooting this for a paper and you needed a picture of the coach or something, then you've done your job. But if you're trying to make a great picture of the coach, then this one isn't it. So,
And two Aeroy pictures. It's just, there's nothing, I don't know what the point is. Like, you got the logo of BSD Dig on it. That's great. And there's a rider on the left. And then the next one, like, what am I supposed to be looking at? It's a snapshot, you know?
The first one, at least there was some thought into it. The second one is just not anything. I don't want to see that.
Jay Rush, I've just shot a lot of golf, so I know you get a lot of shots like these. It's one of those things that maybe like in soccer or football, there's a guy catching the ball, hitting the ball. You get the right moment. You get that. This is one of those classic chip shots that you go and shoot. And I'm sorry, but it's not that interesting. I'm glad you have the depth.
And the flag in the front isn't helping. It's hurting. You know, you need to figure out a way to, if you're going to have it in the picture, have it in a picture in the way that helps. This is just careless and is detracting. Yeah. From the picture,
Kenneth, I think this was on the left, the not the center thing. It's kind of what we're trying to say here. Like, what's the point of this being on the edge?
Yeah,
and there isn't any. I think he cropped this one too. On top of that, it looks like it has.
Yeah,
been.
This should be cropped to a vertical. The good part about it is I like that he's shooting backlit. Not enough people shoot football, American football backlit, and what that does is it takes the sun out of the exposure, basically, so you can get underneath the face mask and see the player's head, and you get that nice reflection off the top of the helmet that kind of sets it off from the background. Not enough people do that, so that's good, but the way this is cropped is not good, and this should just be a vertical. Like, if you really want to use this picture, just have it be of the two players and call it a day. There's, that guy running in the background and the guy in the tank top not helping the picture
at all. And it's not a very interesting moment either. I'm sorry,
No.
Paul, screen photography. I'm glad you got the horse to be riding in front of you. Bravo. But that's about it.
This is just a snapshot. Like, there's, lay down on the ground, shoot up, shoot wider, get, this is in obviously a very pretty place, but you're only showing us a hint of that. And so really the only thing you have to hang your hat on with this picture is that all four of the horse's feet are off the ground and the rider is possibly starting to think about making some kind of face. And that's not enough. So,
and same goes for KY and Chung. And it's the exact reason why we actually tell you to do these exercises, to make sure you have to kind of start thinking outside the box. Everybody can shoot dead center things. Like, I can probably do it in my sleep. But I don't get paid to do that. And you shouldn't either. You should be a bit more creative in what you shoot. Maybe a better location of where the car is. There's shadows. Maybe you use the shadows, to your advantage. Something. But this is...
Think about this. You're going to this race and everybody there is there to shoot the race. What are you going to do that they're not going to do? What are you going to do to make your pictures look different than theirs at the end of the day? And you need to take into account your surroundings, where you are, where you think the car is going to be, is there a place where they're kicking up more rocks and dirt? Is there a place where the sun cuts through the rocks and the dirt and makes it more interesting? There's no thought. You set up, you pointed your camera where it was going, and you pushed the button. And
it's lazy.
That's not
lazy.
Ever going to be
lazy,
enough.
Lazy sports photography. Lazy. And same thing kind of goes on for Novante's two pictures. But you change it to black and white, so what does that do? Like, you think that's going to be better? Black and white or color, this is not an exciting photo by any stretch.
Yeah, the only thing you're doing is getting low, and that's good, but that's not enough. Mm. I like the expression, and I like the lighting on the second one, but it's still not enough. The first one is just, you know, it couldn't be more boring. So, you know, cycling lends itself to a lot of things. Panning, real shallow depth of field, shoot it with a portrait lens. You know, do something different than this, but we're seeing a lot of these pictures from Novante that, you know, they were in the contest last time and training ground last time or whatever, and they're still looking the same. It's still just straight up frozen moment pictures, and it's, you know, not interesting.
And Russ Ballmer's this rodeo thing, I like this one a lot, actually, you know.
Yeah. This is, you know, I like that he's thinking about, you know, usually this is tie down, I would imagine, and usually you're looking at shooting this from the complete other side and getting the rider roping the calf, and I like that he's flipping that. I like the dirt flying off. The only thing I would say is that everything is happening on the right side, and try to set it up so that at least you can see a little bit more of the calf, so that if you didn't know what rodeo was, you would know what was going on here. It doesn't have to be the whole calf. You don't have to take it literally, but at least, you know, like, I don't even know if people would know that that's a rope, you know, that the cowboy is throwing. So you want to swing it around a little bit and get a little bit more perspective on what's going on other than the foot and the stirrup.
Russ, I like it a lot more than Matt does. I think it's great.
No, I like the picture. I've done this a million times.
Matt just tells because he couldn't get this shot like this. He's going to try it next time.
Yeah, that's
FCUM match day. I like both of them, but I especially like the one on the top, compositioned beautifully. I mean, you thought about it a lot, then you realize like all the keepers on the ground, the guys celebrating, I'm just gonna combine this perfectly logical, beautiful way, and everyone should.
Yeah, well done on the first one. Yeah,
second one, it's kind of like a little dancing thing, but. The guy between the legs of the number nine kind of bothers me.
Yeah, it's just killing the picture. If that wasn't there, this would have been a lot better of a picture, but that's enough to kill a picture.
And moving to Stoli, panning, not working, not interesting. Can we go?
I don't like the first one. That's really boring. And, you know, like, I can't really give any bonus points for panning on something like that. I do like the second one because of, you know, that it's basically like a landscape with a lot of negative space. It makes it more interesting. Mm. It's not there, but there was care at least put into that one that wasn't put into the first one. So, you know, try that again. Try not to blow out the sky so much, because that's kind of, or blow it out all the way, but having that middle ground
he
between,
should do a lot,
you know,
more
like
that
the,
one. He could have, huh? He could have really.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
out.
Honestly, just have the sky completely blown out, and then really the picture is taking place in the bottom, like, you know, 15% of the frame or whatever. Mm. That would be better than this, but it's distracting to have blue sky in the right hand part
of it. It's got a lot of shit in the background as well. That won't like.
I'm all right with that. If the sky had been totally blown out, it would have been better.
Okay, blow it up. Summer days, barrels and waves. One of those things.
We've seen a lot.
Because like you can get that close and get closer to the whole thing.
Yeah.
And get lower give us a bit more like a dynamic thing. It's a snapshot, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Jesus. I want you laying on the deck. I want your board, you know, that he's going to miss you. You know, he's going to see you there and he's going to miss you. If somebody's riding in a bowl like this, they know what they're doing. They're not going to hit you. You know, and then compose it better. Like, those palm trees in the background are your friend. Don't cut them off. Don't put them at a weird angle like that. Use them to show, oh, this is happening in Venice, and, you know, there's palm trees all over the place, and I'm going to line them up at the top of the frame like we were talking about in You Win, where the seats were all lined up. I want to see the same thing here. But before that, get lower and get closer to this. The only reason you shoot sports like this is because you can get closer to it. So get closer.
Okay. Next.
Yeah.
Matthew Wilkinson. Funny faces. Doesn't work for me. This thing.
Yeah,
it's funny, but like it's not, you know.
Yeah, just, you know, having a guy up in the air or whatever, it's not enough. This is just a stock, you know, just a stock soccer picture.
I love this K Wong photography one, and that should have actually like been on the Not in the Center thing. That's exactly what I'm trying to say, you know.
Well, this is what we were talking about at the beginning, where there's an echo of the subject. So you have the subject on the right, and then you have another person doing more or less the same thing, a little bit smaller, and all the way to the left. You know, this is a good picture. Mm-hmm. It would have been nice if they were straining a little bit more, but as it is, this is a good picture, and this is exactly what we're talking about, and then not in the center.
Bashar, I know you tried this one, the first one and the second one. I think I need a bit more of the foot. It's a bit too cut off, and you've cut off you've only not much left anymore, and I like the little puff of thing, but need a bit more, and it's too cut off on the second one.
Exactly.
They're both extreme, but I don't think it worked very well. And the fence, that doesn't really work. You know, the shadow fence thing doesn't really do it for me.
Yeah, well, I think if the shadow had been darker and it had been framed a little bit differently, there's something here, and I'm sure Bashar will explore that a little bit more. But these two are off by enough that they're not they're not what we're looking for. But keep going along these lines.
Center photography, I think you know enough about this photo that we don't probably have to add anymore, but it kind of sucks in every possible
way. If you know that you have a couple things to work on, then just straight up put it in training ground. Don't put it into the group pool, because this isn't your best work. This isn't something that you should want, you know, everybody who's just perusing the...
Get rid of it. There's nothing to be learned here. It's just
nothing,
trash
nothing
it.
Nothing good in that.
Jay Rush, like, you know, if you need a photo of that lady playing golf, then great, but on that, it's a really boring photo. Match point?
Yeah, I like this. This is what it looks like in the pits of a stock car race, and this is kind of what we're talking about for next month for the depth. He's using what's going on. This is exactly what it looks like to be in the pits, so he's giving you a very accurate vibe of what it's like when a car is pulling in and the pit crew is getting ready to go out. So, you know, they wait till the car gets a little bit closer, maybe, but as it
it's
is,
great.
Not
yeah,
bad.
And he framed it, you know, in a way that so that the bar is above the car and everything. So, good stuff. Baser Honda, is the background too busy? Yes, it is. And the second one, crop tights. Tighter, but I don't know. Like I think,
and the first one, get closer. Mm. Like there's no reason to be shooting this from this far away. It's just you're too far away.
And second was far away.
Sports
as well.
Like this,
I think works better, but
it's better. Yeah, but because the background's not as busy and because the trick is better. Mm. But either way, get closer. I don't know why people want to shoot extreme sports from that far away. Like the people who are getting paid to shoot extreme sports are 6 inches away from the people that they're shooting, and you guys need to figure out a way to get closer.
And the thing is, like, even if they land on you, you're not gonna die, so you know, get some balls and just get closer. This is one of those really boring cycle shots. We got a lot of boring cycle shots on this month, really. I mean, but it's you stand in front of them, you hit the shutter, and what do you got?
Yeah, so, okay, so the finish line wasn't identifiable. I don't care about that. Yeah. What I care about is that this isn't a moment. You know, this is just something that happened, you know, during the race and nothing was happening. So, first of all, get lower. Second of all, I don't care if you don't get the finish, because once this guy finishes, he's going to put his hands up and celebrate, or he's going to fall off his bike because he's really tired, and either one of those is going to be better than this. Mm.
It sucks, this photo.
So,
really does.
I mean, you don't need to get the
David
photo
Masante,
finish. You
dumb panning. First one kind of doesn't work that well for me, but the second one is very good. I mean, it shows there's a race. I kind of feel like it's a bit far away, and there's a lot of things happening, but it works a hell of a lot better than the first one.
I like the second one a lot. The first one, pictures like that where... it's just slow shutter and you're letting the background stand on its own, you're going to be drawn to what's static after a while. And what's static in this is the holder, which is good, but also the light pole and the fencing and the trees in the background. So that's killing it. But second one is good, and you know, keep doing this. I mean, the more like you've gotten a foothold in this, now build on it and make you know, use these techniques to make better pictures.
It's all about the background.
It's on the right
road.
And
we keep on saying this, background, background, background. If it's a bad background, think about how you can get rid of it. Move, change your aperture, do whatever you can, and just get rid of a really busy background. Or make it work towards your photo, you know? But you have to really work and die and do whatever you have to do with the background. So, it's good, Jaygreve. I like it. Reflection on the thing.
Yeah, these are better than the earlier cycling ones because
much.
He's gotten a lot. Well, it's cropped tighter, and the mirror showing the handlebars and the wheel give you what he's cropped out. That reflection adds back in, and that's why this picture works and those other ones don't, because those are so literal. And this one, you have to put it together that, oh, look at the reflection. It's the part of the picture that we can't see is added back.
Yeah.
And
that's
so
good.
That's why it's good.
To Jav's football and rugby. I mean, the first one's you're too high. And yeah. I don't know. It's not really exciting. Like, if you're that close and get lower and wait for... It's a good moment as well, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know why you're standing up. I think it looks like you're standing up. Not that low. I don't know. It's a really standard picture. And second, what the hell is he doing? Like,
I think it's offsides or something. I mean, the ref is putting up his hand and this guy's pissed because he was on a breakaway or something like that. But it's not enough. I mean, you know, the expression on his face is not enough to make up for, you know, it not even being a live play anymore. Yeah. So,
De Vega Blanco. I like the fact that it's on almost on the far right. I like the fact that everything is blurry, but I don't really find it really interesting, this picture. It's just a car.
No, it's you know, it's again, this is something to build on. Mm. Like, this was you know, a good idea and your technique is very close to being there, but you have empty stands that aren't quite blurred out enough and a sky that, you know, isn't light enough or dark enough or whatever. So you want to apply this to a situation where it would be more interesting.
And
but
might want to use a bit
follow,
even slower
follow
shutter speed
line.
On that. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Risk
that's,
it. We like to
that's
see a bit
you,
more
that's
risk
what you
in
need
your photos.
To do. Yeah,
like
that's what you need to do
did,
to get rid of the
I
stands.
Tried. The first one works a lot better, I think. There's a lot of, you know, I think he was probably taking it from, not the Olympics, is it? No, I don't think it is. Probably got Barclays for sponsors, but... The water works very well for me. I don't really the Barclays thing kind of gets me for I don't know why it is. Probably a better pan in the second one actually makes, but the background's really crappy.
Yeah.
If you really want to get destroy backgrounds, then you have to use a lot slower shutter speeds if that's what you're going for, and it's a cardinal rule. What?
And you have to be willing to accept that you're going to miss more pictures. Yeah. The thing is, you can putter along at, you know, a 60th or an 80th or whatever, and you will get more quote-unquote keepers, but they're not going to be great pictures because of the backgrounds, whereas if you drop it down to a 10th of a second or a 5th of a second or, you know, whatever is applicable, you'll miss a whole lot more, but the ones that you make will be way, way better pictures. So work on that.
And I think Claudio, I love the way where he lives, the place he lives. It's great. It's always beach shots. Fantastic.
Yeah, Claudio, you know, we might be willing to do a... we should do an in-person... version of Big Lens Fast Shutter, and we'll just critique all of Claudio's photos, but he has to invite us to come and stay with him wherever this is.
I love the second one. They're just that really gentle touch, just like that hand coming out. It's a bit creepy, but it's just I think it's great. It's just really nothing, but it's just that one hand does everything to this photo, you know. And the first one, I think I know what he wanted to do, but I don't think it really quite worked because I don't know what's going on. That's what it is. Like, it's just a blurry photo. It looks like a probably like a beach soccer thing that he shoots all the time.
I don't know. If it's tennis, then that one blur, that yellow blur, is perfectly placed.
Is it tennis?
I think it might be tennis.
Yeah.
And if so, then that's really cool because that tennis...
No.
You know, that's not a tennis ball. It's not a tennis ball, but it looks like it could be.
Yeah, but I don't know. This is, it won't actually stand as a sports photography shot because we don't know what it is.
Oh, never mind.
At all. It's, we have to kind of guess.
It's football.
Yeah, but what about the second one then?
Yeah, I mean, I like what he was going for, and I like the pink and the green of the water. Mm. It is a little bit creepy. I don't think I like it as much as you do.
Nick.
So, yeah, first of all, there are better moments in a football game than this, and you want to either get it where everybody in the team is in the pile or before they start getting their arms in and trying to strip out the ball, because what you have here is the back of one guy who's on his knees, so it doesn't look like he's really trying all that hard. Even if he is, it gives the appearance of not, and I don't know. It's, your timing has to be better, because the good moments where you'll have a clear shot at what you're trying to shoot through all the other bodies are very fleeting, but you have to anticipate and be prepared when those happen to get a picture that has more potential than what's going on now. Now the runner's stopped, there's not all that much else going on. You want to get it maybe half a second or a second before this, where anything still could have happened. Right now it's determined this guy's going to fall down, and it just kind of robs it of all the intensity.
And CC Faux, it's a great idea. It's a fantastic idea. I wish that's empty space. The guy was doing something different. I don't like the basketball hoop.
Yeah, and this is, you know, this was also one that could have been in the not in the center, but what ends up happening is that the good idea is overrun by, you know, the basket, and then the guys, you know, at first when I saw this, I thought he was like celebrating or something, but then I looked at it and he's just like wiping his face or something like that, and it's not as interesting as it would have been, but good idea, and, you know, try this again and try to get it to the point. I don't care if 15 points have to go by before something happens. Mm. Sit there and don't take a picture for 15 points. Sit on this moment and try to make it better, and obviously reframe it so that the basketball hoop isn't in there.
It's absolutely what it is. And Carlina, I like them both, but the first one, the background, is it HDR? Did he go HDR?
I don't think so.
Is it?
No.
It looks like it's HDR.
I don't think it's HDR.
Is it? Oh no, we didn't go. We can't go HDR now, can we?
I don't think it is. I think it's just like boosting the shadows or whatever. Okay. It's not. Yeah, I mean that's fair.
I think it could have been better. I don't like the angle off.
Yeah.
And I don't like the background. So, had you been lower and had you kind of changed the angle with that?
Yeah.
The clouds in the sky.
There's something there, but this isn't it.
I like the panning one. Looks cool, no?
I'd like it a lot, yeah. It's not even really panning. It's just
slow shutter speed.
Low shutter. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, this is one of those things where if a crazy play happens, you're not going to get it because, you know, it's going to be blurred out. But you have to take those risks to be able to make good pictures out of, random routine plays. Mm. And he's got the guy. This is what I was talking about in the earlier football picture. These moments where the running back is visible in between two of the defenders, that's what you're looking for. That's when you make the picture, not when they're wrapped up and the play is over. Get it while he's at full speed still. It'll be more dramatic and dynamic. And, you know, this is exactly what we're looking for. This is not a picture that you're, you know, there might have been 15 other people shooting this game, and not one of those people is going to have this picture.
No.
And that's what we want. Come away from it, or go into it thinking, how am I going to get a different picture? That all these other people are here to get pictures. How are my pictures going to stand out at the end of the game? This is how. This isn't perfect, but the thought that went into it and the risk that he took in doing it, and the fact that at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's an interesting picture and something to build on, he's done his job. Yeah. And I'm happy that he's done it. I'm happy that, you know, he's been participating. I'm happy that he's taken his ego out of it, and he's incorporated all of the things that we're talking about, and he's gotten better in not that much time.
Yeah. So take that, you non-believers, you heathens out there. But anyway, I don't like the three and the four. That really kind of bothers me quite a lot. But
well, you know, Matt loves that's it. That's what happens.
So we all love it here. And that is the conclusion to this month training ground. And we will do it again next month. Thanks. You Win is part of the show where you, the listeners, participate in a monthly themed competition. The top three photos will be presented on our site. And I was just talking with Matt about this now, and I had a lot of photos that should have been on podium that should probably not have been on this one, because I don't think the photographer used the length of, well, kind of like the edge thing very, very well. I'm now kind of having like a bit of a problem as well doing this thing. I'm going to just give you honorable mentions that I feel really bad it's not on it. The first one is Ben Blue. I'm sure it's Ben, and it's a guy sitting in the stands of some kind of it's a match, third league. I love it. It's a beautiful photo, you know, and it's such a great thing. And it really is like it should be on the edge thing as well, but there are others that I like better than this one. But it's a fantastic shot. So it's an honorable mention. It's a great shot, Ben. Fantastic.
Yeah, I want to add something to this because I seriously considered this one also, but in the end, it's there are better pictures, you know, that are sports pictures, and this one is marginally a sports picture. But what I want to say about this picture is, I want people to go and look at this. Look how carefully it's framed. Look at the seats at the top and the bottom and how they're exactly lined up. That's the kind of thought that we want to see in all of the pictures. It's not like he could have said, oh, well, here's a guy sitting in a sea of chairs and, you know, put the guy in the center and it could have been skewed a little bit. And this is a great picture because of where the person is in the picture and because look at the little stickers on the seats and they're exactly parallel to the top of the frame and exactly parallel to the bottom of the frame. That's what we're looking for. This level of thought and care that goes into the picture, I want to see this on every picture.
Yeah, that's a great shot. And the next one is Van Lim's picture that I really thought about it, but for some reason it didn't really occur to me that this had to be it's in the middle to me. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't think she's used the frame to kind of push things to the side or up or down or even to the left, and I really feel bad because it still is a great picture and great background and everything. I just had to let this one go. And the other one is Bashar's picture as well of the racing thing. I really have considered this one as well, but it's kind of face cut in half, but to me the subject is in the middle, kind of in a way. It's not, so it's difficult for me to say that it should be involved in it, but it's, to me, I kind of had to, yeah, couldn't do it. So do you have any of those or no?
I like all the ones that you mentioned.
Okay. And I also had to, there's one by Ignacio Zaguirre. It's a rugby one as well. And I've just considered other ones, but this one also, great picture. Rugby is very different from usual rugby shots, but I just kind of had to let it go as well. So, right. So what's your number three?
My number three is Ignacio.
Ah.
Yeah. This is exactly what we were asking for. You know, he's, and again, this kind of goes to what we were talking about for next month, but there's depth, there's a foreground, there's a subject, and there's the background, and he's moved things around so that you can definitely tell that it's rugby because those guys are scrumming. I don't know if that's what you call it, but they're in a scrum. And then you can see the fans in the background and the guy himself. I mean, obviously it would have been better if he had been with the ball or doing something or whatever, but it's a very nice composition, and I like the way he set everything up. And again, it's with care. This didn't happen by accident. This didn't happen by him, you know, just scanning the camera around and pushing the button. He composed, he made a picture, and that's what we're looking for. So that's my number three.
My number three is the cycling shot by Meg, which is Grand Prix of Beverly 2012. I don't really mind that things are cut off at the bottom or the arm is gone on the right, but it's really extreme edge thing, and you can see the other riders in the background. And I did thought about, would this have been a better picture if his entire body was in? And I thought, well, maybe not that, not by that much. I kind of like the fact that it's so, you know, she cut a lot of things, and to me, it still made the picture work. I think a lot of people will probably say no because you can't see the other arm and everything, but in this instance, for some reason, this made a lot of sense to me. I don't like the position of the legs. That's the only thing. I wish it was a bit more, I don't know, like one leg up, another leg down, or, you know, because it looks like it's more like a cycling thing. But I really like this for some reason. So it's my vote on number three.
Yeah, I didn't vote for this one, but I do like it. I think that it would have been a worse picture if things hadn't been cut off. This makes it way more interesting than it would have been if, you know, if she had tried to, you know, fit the whole rider in. So there are times when, you know, if you're doing it with thought and you're doing it for a reason, you can cut things off, and you can cut them off as awkwardly as you want to, but it still has to work. It's not just, oh, well, here's this picture and I cut off somebody's foot. No, you know, you need to do it with thought.
Okay. No, I agree. I agree. No, really, really is. Your second?
Second is Van Lim. I think that you're taking it a little bit too literally. I think that the diver might be towards the middle of the frame, but I think that you only look at the diver for, that's what draws you into the picture. But then after that, you're looking at the water flying off, and because it's flying off and because it's framed, especially in the top right corner, the way it is, that's what makes it a not in the center picture. And I think that, you know, these are the kind of details that make a picture, not the tire coming off the ground and not, you know, things, you know, just everyday kind of things. This is, you know, Van was shooting this and thinking, well, it's not just about the diver. What else can I get in here? And this, the way the water is coming off of her hair and her feet, makes this a non-center picture, and I think it's really good.
I agree that it is a very, very good picture, but I just don't agree the fact that this is a non, because to me, it's smack, almost smack in the middle. And
yeah,
I understand there's a trail off literally water coming, you know, that where her hair used to be, and it's great, but at the same time, I just also kind of think the degree of difficulty as well, probably in that sense, not that high. It's difficult to say, you know, it's, but I just had other ones that I like more. And my second one was by it's by Joel Plummer, and it's GG Brown Tournament Day 3 of Noah, that is. What I thought was fantastic is that there's an entire story in that one frame. There's a guy going for a leaner, and it is a basket, and there's a guy trying to block, and it's not on the right, it's not on the center. You know, like, it's, to me, it's quiet, because what happens usually is that people would just shoot that straight up and that's it. You just see the basket, the ball, the guy, and nothing else. But he put, in what I can possibly imagine, he put a lot of thought into this. And so, you know what, I'm going to actually leave the focus on the right and put the goal in, and hopefully everything will kind of work out towards my, you know, my way of actually shooting. And I thought it worked very, very well. Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, I don't like the fact that the foot's cut off on the right with the guys covering it and things. And I wish I could have actually seen the guy's face who's shooting, you know. But I just kind of think it's, everything is there for me to just say, like, oh, this is a far not in the center picture.
Yeah, I like, I mean, I like it in general, and I like the thought that went into it, and I like that he tried something, but there's too many things that are taking away the, you know, not being, having his arm in basketball, that happens a lot. The arm of the shooter covering his face, and then the arm of the other guy blocking the right edge of the frame. Just, it's, you know, I would encourage him to continue trying to make pictures like that, but I don't think this is one.
Okay. We can agree to disagree on that one then.
Yeah.
So what? Your number one is?
By C.S. Zitova. The tennis picture, the tennis player with the racket all the way up in the corner serving with the shadow.
Okay.
Yeah, I really like this picture. This is, we've talked about tennis shadow pictures before, and it's kind of like, you know, everybody, you know, after you go and shoot tennis for a minute and you say, oh, well, what else can I do? The shadows generally come into it.
Mm.
And a lot of times it's just, you know, oh, well, it's the server's feet and the shadow of the feet or whatever. But I really like this one because the main subject becomes the shadow, but he's satisfying the requirements because the actual player and the racket especially is all the way up in the top right. And I just, I like the framing of this, the even the baseline coming through it like that and separating the player from the shadow. And then, you know, it's just, it's kind of like an extra bonus that the ball is in there, because that's, you know, a lot of times you can't get all of those things in there because it's too far away or whatever, but the shadow really works, and it's great that it's, you know, the whole, you can see the whole player in the shadow even more than you can see of the actual player. So this is definitely my winner.
I'm having second thoughts about that one as well. It's really, it's a great photo, you know, the colors are just great. And oh, by the way, it's a she, it's not a he, it's a she.
Okay.
Sorry
for being sexist there.
Terrible. See, that's what happens. You know, you become sexist, and that's it. You know, and you just get fat old men doing this job. See, you gotta say.
Well, let's not get carried away.
So my favorite was number one was Yari Korvo and Game of Shadows, and I loved it. I don't know. I cannot figure out how he did this, because I'm assuming that it wasn't done by Stroh, because it, I don't think you can do it the way it, everything is lit up. I don't think you can possibly do it just with a strobe. So it had to be like a strip of light that was going through the forest, and he had the guy, or he was waiting for a guy to pass, or he set up whatever. But I love it. Yeah, I think there are things that could be changed. Like, I think the foreground, you can probably touch it up and just make it a bit darker, because I think that kind of takes it out, you know. Not completely dark, but you can probably darken it. But the rest works. There, look, it looks like a trail of light, you know, with the guy going down the hill. And it's, I love the fact that it's at the end of his path and not in the beginning. And this is what I'm trying to say as well for the framing, not in the center. He's actually given that empty space behind the rider something. And what he's actually done, or what it was actually done for him before, and he saw it, was that the light was behind him. And it looked much cooler than you take it the other way around, same composition, everything but the rider in the beginning of the frames in upper right. It wouldn't have actually worked. So I thought it was great, and that's my winner.
Yeah, I like this one too. It didn't jump out at me as much as it did you. I think that the, you know, if it, I agree that this is probably natural light. It looks like there's another strip of light in the background. Mm-hmm. So the, you know, there might have been like cuts in the tree for the path or something like that. I think that there should have been some kind of light to define the rider more, because you kind of lose him, especially like the top of him. Like if there had been like a rim light out, just out of the frame shooting back towards him to define, you know, like the top of his helmet and the top of his back, I would have liked it a little bit more. It, the care that went into the rest of the picture is a little bit lacking.
Oh, on come the rider, are you so. Kidding me?
No.
Lacking with this? Yeah. Matt, come on. He thought about just doing this complete this thing diagonally, yeah. And he knew where it was.
I'm saying there was obviously a lot of thought that went into this picture in general, but the rider gets lost because of the dark background and because of the light that's coming in the foreground.
I mean, that's the charm of it, you know.
Yeah,
he's
kind
of like, yeah, he's kind of in within the bit of dark and bit of light, and he's there. And
my point is that the trees in the top middle and the top
right, I don't like that either. But
they draw your eye to that. So the only way to make up for that, unless you're going to do this somewhere else where those trees aren't hanging down, is to somehow set the rider off a little bit. My point is that when you're looking at this, it's far too easy to let your eye be dragged to those trees in the top than it is to the rider. And then you have to hunt for the rider. And then when you find him, he's still a little bit lost in all of that.
I think he probably thought about, you know, how to get rid of the trees. And I think what you could have done, but it's like probably like asked the same way the trail is as well. Now, I was just thinking you can probably make it, you know, tad darker with your camera, you know. F-stop, probably a stop lower, and then you would probably gotten rid of some of the lights that's kind of, you know, creeping up within the frame. But I don't know, I think it's such a unique way, like the tennis thing as well, you know, like it's really, I really want to encourage people to do something like this.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm not discouraging this at all. Like this, I'm saying this picture is like right up to the edge of what we want. Mm. And all I'm saying is that there's a way to make this picture pop more, and it's to figure out how to set the rider off and not have it get lost. Like, all of those things do still apply. Like, you can have everything can be perfect, but if the subject of your picture is fading into the background, you know, it's not perfect. Mm. And, you know, this is the kind of thing where, you know, this doesn't look to be like an organized kind of sport, so try it again, you know, and figure out a way, either shoot it in a little bit different location or shoot it from a little bit of a different angle to get rid of the things that are pulling away from the picture and add to the things that you want to add it to. That's, you know, but that's not just advice for this, that's advice for everybody. Like, you need to try to figure out how to make your picture stronger, and the, you know, those trees that are distracting in the background, figure out a way to get rid of them and figure out a way to set the rider off. And
this is basically Matt being mean, Yako, posty. But yeah, I mean, but I'm just thinking, like, I think way everything is done, I will give it to the Shadow Surf one, because I think at the end, because I kind of thought like it was kind of in the middle, but then I think it's a fact of like the guys on the right edge and using the shadow to do that, I kind of think this should be number one.
Yeah, I think basically, that just to open this up a little bit to see how we think, the degree of difficulty in this and the number of times that this person had to make this picture, it's easier than the one that we were just criticizing.
Oh, yeah.
The degree of difficulty is lower and the repeatability of it is higher, but this was executed perfectly. Like, there's nothing that I could say about this picture, you could have done this better. No, this is perfect. It's not the best picture in the history of the world. It's not especially hard, but it was executed perfectly and it stands alone as a great picture. The other one, it was obviously harder, but you don't automatically win because whatever you tried was harder than the other person.
Not part of it, and I understand that. But like, I think I honestly thought this actually stood by itself. But compared to the tennis one, I think tennis one does win. The only reason I left it out because I honestly thought this was a bit of a center picture and not really a edge picture. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's not true.
All right, well, I'll let you have this one because I think it makes more sense. But so I will have to put Yako's second.
Okay.
And third, I don't know. I don't think Van Lims should be third. I think it's a great picture, you know, but same way, it's just, I just don't think it's an edge picture. Like, I really wanted people to use the edge off the thing to do what they're doing. I think the first one, the tennis one, does, and the rider does, but I don't think Van Lims does. You know what I mean? I cannot, because that's just kind of a smack in the middle picture, right?
Yeah.
I understand it's a great picture. It is. I cannot agree with you more. But I don't think the fact that if you shoot that one a bit wide, you get everything in, that's in. Everything's in. Had the trail been really, 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 really strong, or had, I don't know, like her body position's been different or whatever, I think it would actually have been. But it wasn't using the edge to the way that I wanted people to use. That was a whole exercise.
Okay, well, my point is, what's your third place?
I think it's either the rugby or the bicycle. You got to choose.
Okay. Well,
or even going to the Ben's picture, so we can bring that in from the dead and make that into, because I think that's even, you know.
Well, it's not, the bicycle picture is nice, and it's, you know, it's a good use of, you know, what we were talking about, what the theme was, but it's not as good a picture.
I understand. You know, it cleared the hurdle. The point is that I do actually want people to realize that's what you kind of have to do to make something be a bit risky and do something like that to create something that is different from what other you see every day. Van Lim's picture, I've seen those pictures all the time during Olympics. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather actually people try and risk it and say, you know what, I'm just going to concentrate on this guy. I don't care if he gets cut off. I'm just going to try and see how it goes. You know what I mean? As also an effort thing, but I have to give it to people who actually have done it a bit more. And it's the same thing as well, you know, that I think Van Lims, you have to wait for that moment and do it, and that's it. You know, I know effort doesn't really do that much, but I kind of want at least to reward people for the effort that they've actually taken into, you know, doing something a bit risky. And because, you know, we're supposed to be a risky sports photography podcast, aren't we?
Yeah. All right.
Wow. So, must be like the longest you win ever. So, what do you think? Rugby or cyclist?
I just think Ignacio's picture is better straight up.
Rugby it is. Yeah. So, we hear, you know, they're all great pictures. I'm
happy with the level of quality, certainly more than the last few months. I think people are doing fantastic. Some good work here. Yeah.
Great. So, I mean, that's why it takes us this long to discuss which one, you know, should be the best one. So,
yeah.
Honestly, great, fantastic work, guys. Like, it's good that we can discuss this at this length. Because usually it's just like, okay, yeah, I got third, now second, okay, we're gonna, okay, that's done. And we don't like that, honestly. Like, we'd rather actually bitch and moan about it and protect our assets, you know what I mean? So, yeah, that's it. As you've heard it on the masterclass, next one is depth. And the last day for that will be September 30th on Sunday. Okay, that's it. And with that, we end the 19th episode of Big Lens Fast Shutter. Special thanks to Boutsman, who recently had a baby, so congratulations, for the icons, and our wonderful producer, who hasn't had a baby recently. Well, I don't even know if he actually had any, if he didn't tell us any. Really, without them, we can't really do this podcast. To check out their info as well as ours, please go to biglensfastshutter.com. See you next month.